manos. Probando. ¿Puedes escuchar? Buenas tardes, mis hermanos. Quiero. Hoy día voy a estar predicando en inglés. Así que mejor sería empezar con inglés. Today we will be reading Job 14, 1 to 7. I'd like to finish verses 1 to 7 today, if I may. But I will also read verse in Proverbs, a few verses in Proverbs, a couple verses in Proverbs before getting into the study. And if you can, I will make sure to let you know what verse that is in Proverbs. It's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. But we will start in Job 14, 1 to 7. And after reading these both, reading in both of these books of the Bible, we'll bow our heads and pray. So Job says, Job 14, 1 to 7, "Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And dost thou open thine eyes upon such an one, and bringest me into judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Turn from him that he may rest, till he shall accomplish as an hireling his day. For there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease." I also want you guys to turn to Proverbs, and this is just to begin the sermon. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. The word says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Let's pray. Celestial Father, thank you for this opportunity that you have given me to bring your word, and expose your word to a church in which I have come to and assisted for a few years, Lord. I pray that your word is exposed to its fullest extent so that every one of my brothers has understanding in what I what is being taught today. Father, I ask you that you bless my brothers in which are here with open ears and open minds to be able to listen to your word, Lord. I thank you for the gift that you have given us. That you gave your only begotten Son to die for our sins, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, to give you a summary of part of the story of Job, here we have a man from the land of Oz, a perfect, upright, and God-fearing man who eschewed evil. And within the days of Job, Satan came about walking around the earth, and the Lord asked Satan if he had considered his servant Job, as there are none like him. Therefore, Satan told the Lord, "The work of Job's hands is blessed by him, the Lord. Hence, his substances were increased in the land." Then Satan challenged the Lord regarding his servant Job, that if he altered all that Job has, then Job will curse him at his face. For the ones who don't know the story, Satan challenges the Lord twice regarding Job. The first time, which I just mentioned, happened to Job, and Job sinned not against God. The second time, Satan raised the bet on Job, cursing the Lord if Job were to lose a certain part of his health. Satan would curse the Lord to his face. Satan believed that Job, after losing everything that he had to his name and part of his health, then he would curse the Lord to his face. If you read the story, you will come to an understanding that Satan was proved wrong to his statements regarding Job's faithfulness to the Lord. The words that we are about to read are part of the wisdom of Job regarding man in general, after the events I just mentioned that incurred upon him. So, Job 14, if you guys are there, Job 14, 1, it says, "Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble." All right. If you turn to Genesis, we get a little bit of background on this. Genesis 3, 13. It says in Genesis 3:13, "And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me." The serpent deceived me. So it says, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." This isn't to say that the disobeying towards the word of God falls directly on woman, because if you go up a couple of verses to Genesis 3:11 to 12, we can read that. It says, "And he said, Who told thee?" And this is the Lord speaking to Adam. "So, and he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." The man blamed God and the woman. It's enough to say he just pointed fingers after being found at fault. So, again, Genesis 3:12, it says, "The woman whom thou givest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." So we're all to blame. But the point is that a man that is born of a woman through the seed of man, since Adam and Eve mistakenly sinned in eating, excuse me, that was a pause, that was a period. Since Adam and Eve mistakenly sinned in eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, we're all sinners. It teaches us who we are after the first sin in eating of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The disobeying of the word of God. Brothers, let's remember that in Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." So we're going to move on to Job 14, move forward. into Job 14:2. It says, "He cometh forth like a flower, and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow, and continueth not." Man is like a flower, a creation of God. The only differences are the following. The flower doesn't have feelings, emotions. And for any scientists listening to this sermon, a conscience that governs all that. Man is like a flower that grows until the day its physical state of life is over. In this case, the flower is cut down. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. Let's go back to Genesis 3:8, and we'll read from 6 to 7. We will be going back to Genesis a little bit, but yes, Genesis 3:8 from 6 and 7 to 8. It says, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons." And here's verse 8. "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden." Well, from here we can learn that when man is discovered, he hides himself into the darkness. In this case, they hid themselves in behind trees. So, verse 2 of Job 14, "but continueth not." It says, "He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not." The man will continue until he does not. Brothers, we are created by God in his perfect image. And Lord willing, we, at least everyone in this church, are saved through the name, the beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Still, we thirst for more lives to come join us in our joy of good news. I would like you to remember also the verse in Romans 6:23 and John 3:16. Romans 6:23 says, "For all have sinned." That's Romans 3:23. Romans 6:23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord." Amen. John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Right. "So that any that believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life." Amen. A man that does not turn away from light, that is when it is presented to him, will look directly at it. Have you ever noticed when someone shines a light on you, you stop what you're doing, even rest? You want to cover that light because it is so bright you can't even see important details anymore regarding who and why they're shining a bright light at your face. We're attracted to light even when we're born. The light is visible to us through our eyes. I am no scientist, but the sun gives us vitamin D, which is good for the man and woman. The sun, which God so graciously created for our habitation on this little blue planet, is a source of energy for all living things and beings. It is the source of energy even for the things that are not living, such as the weather. And renewable electrical energy we use today. It's glory to God for his creation. We are attracted to see the light even from birth. A man that walks in darkness is naturally attracted to light. The light and path we must walk upon is the one of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Who saved us. Who healed us. Who loves us. Who made us whole even with all the darkness that surrounds us. My name is Jesus.
Amen.
In Genesis 2:7. I can go there, but I'll just tell you, God formed man of the dust of the ground. That's practically how God created us. And in Thessalonians 5:5, 1 Thessalonians 5:5, you guys can go there if you'd like. Yes, I'd like you to go there. Sorry, 1 Thessalonians. I will go there also. 1 Thessalonians 5:5. It says, "Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness." That's what the Apostle Paul says in regards to light and us and who we are, our identity. So yes, we are the children of light. We do not hide our light, we shine. At the very minimum, we should not let our light dim or even turn off. It doesn't matter how far in the darkness you have been, Jesus Christ is the light. If everybody can turn to John 9:5 in the Gospels. John 9:5. This is Jesus speaking, and he has more to say in regards to this chapter. But in verse 5, he says, John 9:5. Jesus is talking, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world."
Amen.
So again, Jesus is the light. So let's go back to Job. And we're going to go to Job 14:3. This is where we're studying Job 14:1-7. And we are in Job 14:3. This is Job pretty much running through life. As in given wise words in regards to man. "And dost thou open thine eyes upon such an one, and bringest me into judgment with thee?" If he's basically talking about man. So when someone's eyes are opened in the Bible, it typically results or is a result from things that are pleasing to the Lord. To give you a couple of examples, let's go to the book of Psalms. I have two examples in the book of Psalms, and to top that off, it would be, I will go to Job 1:1, but first, Psalms 119, verse 18. Psalms 119, verse 18. It says, and this is David speaking, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." I think we can all agree that the words of coming out of David's mouth would be pleasing to the Lord. In analyzing this verse, we see that David, stating that he will possess wondrous things from God's law after his eyes are opened by the Lord. Also, we will look at Psalms 34:15. Psalms 34:15 says, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry." Amen. If we examine the life of Job a little more, we see that he fits this description. So, like I said, let's go to Job 1:1. It says, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God, and eschewed evil." We see that Job is a perfect and upright man that feared God while not giving favor to evil. And this was pleasing to the Lord. So, back to Job 14:3. And dost thou open thine eyes upon such an one, such a man as me, for example, Job, and bringest me into judgment with thee? If we look back in through much of the Bible, we see times when the faith and obedience to God is tested. We're going to go see a few examples. We're going to go to Genesis 15:1-6. And 6 is the verse in which I want to take away. But Genesis 15:1-6. Genesis 15:1-6. I'll read all 6 verses. But like I said, 6 is what I want to take away for you guys. After these things, it says Genesis 15:1-6. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham, and he's called Abraham at this time because the Lord hasn't yet assigned him the name Abraham. But this is Abraham, the Abraham we know about. So, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." And Abraham said, "Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus?" And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. Now we're going on to verse 6. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness.
Amen.
So this is an example where Abraham put his faith onto the Lord. It says he believed, and it was counted unto him for righteousness.
Amen.
So we're going to go, and we're going to talk a little bit about Abraham, but we're going to go skip a few more chapters ahead into Genesis 22, verses 1 to 2. Genesis 22, 1 to 2. And it says, And it came to pass, after these things, that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thine son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. God tests Abraham's faith. And if you continue on with a story into this, I'm sure all of you know a little bit of this, know the story. But I thought it was wonderful, honestly. But God tests Abraham's faith. This is a horrible position to be put in. I am no father, but this would personally break my heart. I know so. Anyways, Abraham believed unto the Lord and obeyed him to the last fraction of a second. We can go down a few verses and see the Lord stopped Abraham at the last second in offering Isaac as an offering. Abraham had a knife, and he was close to achieving this ordinance from the Lord, but the Lord stopped him and offered an offering, a lamb, that was stuck in bushes. If we keep going, sorry, I got a little ahead of myself, but if we keep going to Genesis 22:10-11, it's in the same chapter. It says, And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. It was verse 11. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. Therefore, God asked Isaac, Abraham's son, as a sacrifice. And Abraham obeyed God until confronted by God. If you continue on to these verses in the same chapter, like I told you, Abraham stops from, I want to say, offering his son as a sacrifice. So let's go down to verse 12 to verify this. And he said, "Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." So Job could put into record that the following part of Job's character was pleasing to the Lord. He was perfect, upright, God-fearing, and eschewed evil. It means he departed from evil. He did not give favor to evil. At the same time, not realizing how the Lord was using him because of the torment he was going through, Job is questioning why the Lord has brought upon him this judgment. So back to Job 14. Job 14, 4. I'm just going to finish that verse off real quick. So, "And thus thou open thine eyes upon such an one, and bringest me into judgment with thee." Now, verse 4. "Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one." This was said by Job in his time and limited knowledge. But we have a one who can do that and who has done that. What is the most significant gift, to better say, that God has given us? That is the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we can accept him as our Lord and Savior. He died for our sins. He died for my sins. And I am blessed to be able to say such a statement. It's not just a statement. It's the statement. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So in Job 14:4, Job could be calling out, crying out at the sight of God about his suffering. He is physically, mentally, and emotionally dealing with real pain. Let's not forget the important detail that God was confident with a man such as Job as to let Satan touch him. Back in Job 1, 11, 12. We can go there. Job 1, 11, 12. 11, 11 to 12. Job 1, 11 to 12. So Job 1, 11 to 12 says, "But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thy hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Job had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He was a man of many riches. He was, for some who don't know the story, he was a judge. And again, he was a man of many riches. In this case, his substance of animals. And within a matter of, say, less than a year, probably less than a month, perhaps, Job lost it all. Not only that, but Job was also in physical pain. Let's read Job 2. Job 2, 2 to 7. We can read from Job 1, if that's all right. If we can read from Job 1. Job 2, 1, excuse me. Job 2, 1 to 7 says, "Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, From whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause? And Satan answered the Lord and said, Skin for skin, yeah, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now, and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord, and smote Job with sore boils, from the sole of his foot unto his crown." So the Lord allowed Satan to touch Job, just not to take his life. And this is the second instance in which Satan challenges the Lord. Job is basically saying that if the Lord turns from man, then man will cease being, and he will achieve his day as a worker what he is due. It basically roots down to Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord."
Amen.
This brings forth a message that I have brought for you today. But to conclude, I want us to use what we will learn about the wisdom of Job to better conduct ourselves in the sight of God when everything is going well, just as when times are tough. Here we have a man who lost it all, and to this day, we can learn from his experience. I will continue to touch on this subject for when the day comes in which I can preach the Word of God to you. I want to thank you guys for your time, and God bless you, brothers.